Doing this morning? Can you hear me okay? All right. So in this session, I wanted to talk a little bit about Visio and Visio services in context with, you know, SharePoint on-prem, SharePoint online, Office 365. I wanted to kind of go over basically all the capabilities that you have using Visio and Visio services to do things like BI, build dashboards, you know, create content for consumers. People are going to go to SharePoint, Office 365, and consume these diagrams and see these dashboards and interact with them. I think one of the things to take away from this is how easy it is to use the capabilities in Visio to build dashboards, right, to connect your data, external data, data that's in SharePoint, to the shapes and objects in Visio so that these things are live, so that you're not constantly going through the scenario of, okay, well, something has changed. I need to update some metadata in my diagram. I need to resave this out to the server or, you know, previous to Visio services. What we found a lot of customers doing is going through a painful scenario where small changes to their diagram, you know, made them go through a process of updating that diagram constantly, exporting that diagram to some format that could be shared across everybody in their enterprise, right? And then they end up in this cycle where they're sending out PDFs or just images from the Visio file itself, right? As they update it continuously, people don't have the latest information, it's not consistent, all these sorts of scenarios. So that was, you know, probably the main reason for putting Visio services in SharePoint, was to allow people to, you know, share their Visio content across the enterprise. So going through all these features, these data connectivity features, these data visualization features, you know, I want to just kind of step through what you can do with the products together using Visio Client as kind of the authoring console, if you will. Sometimes I kind of talk about Visio in the same context as you would use SharePoint Designer, right? You're using the client as an authoring tool to build the experience for your users within the SharePoint environment. So with that, you know, going through and configuring data graphics, doing things like drill down hyperlinking, stuff like that, creating some pivot style interactions. Then we'll also get into, you know, well, what can we do on the server side after we create our diagram, put the data together, save this content into SharePoint, right? What can I do in my SharePoint pages? What can I do with the Visio diagram in order to build some more interactive consoles or some dashboards? Who here is using Visio services today? Just a quick show. Okay, so actually not too many. Is everybody familiar with Visio services at some level? I mean, okay, so from conference material and other things that you've seen so far being here, I'm sure some of you have stopped by the booth and talked to me a little bit about these scenarios. But that was our first goal with building Visio services, was being able to publish content into SharePoint so that everybody in the enterprise could consume that content, right? The other thing was to keep these diagrams up to date automatically by enabling the data connections, right, that we have in Visio services, so that, you know, as people are browsing to Visio services, to your diagrams on their Surface, their iPad, their phone, you know, Windows clients, right, they can see the changes that have taken place in your back-end data that you've connected to the shapes in that diagram. Now, the last bullet point there in the slide that I want to point out is that these diagrams are not editable in the browser. This is a common question that comes up when people are talking about Office web applications in SharePoint. Right? They see Word, they see Excel. You can do some editing capabilities within the Office web apps. Visio Services is not a web app. It's just a service application that's part of SharePoint. Right, you get it with SharePoint Enterprise, you get it with Office 365. it just renders the content and makes that content available to you in the browser, right? You can't move shapes around. You can't add and remove shapes by interacting, you know, with the browser rendering. So I just kind of want to make that clear. Any of those kind of capabilities where, let's say, you know, in this scenario, we had a new store come online, maybe in Northern California, we'd have to open up that diagram, add the store shape, data connect it to wherever we're getting our data from, and then save it back to SharePoint in that case. Okay? But any of the data that refreshes for any of the shapes that already exist, right, our visualizations are going to change. Some things can change about those shapes that already exist in that diagram. So I just want to try to make that point clear that we're not a web application. We're just we just provide the content for you to consume it. So when you start thinking about using Visio for setting up your dashboards in Office 365 or SharePoint on-prem, right, there's a couple things to consider. Obviously, the diagram kind of takes center stage, right? You need to sit down with Visio, and what I tell most of my customers is, you know, just start sketching something out in Visio, right? What do you think you want that experience, that dashboard to look like? Because remember, people are going to be able to click on shapes to see the metadata behind those shapes. They're going to be able to navigate that diagram with hyperlinks, do these different things. So you kind of have to just sit down and sketch that out and what that experience is going to look like and prototype it, if you will, in the Visio client. Of course, along with that comes, what is my data? Where am I going to get my data from, right? And the visualizations play kind of a key role in that too, because if you want to say, I want to do some calculations in my diagram and show some icons that are red and green based on what's happening with these different data properties, right? You kind of have to work with the visualizations that you want to show along with the data that you have to work with and figure out, well, do I do some calculations in my back-end data source and bring those forward to Visio, or is there stuff that I can just bring straight across into Visio and do some simple calculations in my shapes and data graphics, and I'll show you that kind of stuff. And then, of course, obviously, the interaction piece that I already talked about with hyperlinking, and then we'll get to some content and some customizations that you can do server side. Visio its foundation is a diagramming tool, right? And there's a lot of different things that you can do in the Visio client itself to build up your diagram. One of the things I like to point out is AutoCAD diagrams. I think I talked to a number of customers this week at our booth and at the different sessions about, you know, manufacturing floor plans or hotel floor plans and trying to communicate that kind of stuff to people very easily through a tablet. Yet last night I talked to somebody that wanted to have a maintenance dashboard. So, you know, a maintenance guy running around with his tablet could pan through floor plans of the hotel, click on devices that he's repaired, add some notes to it, see what the latest state of those devices were. So being able to just import an AutoCAD diagram, you know, makes that very powerful. And you'll see in my demo part of what I've done with kind of a store floor plan. But bitmaps, clip art, Visio shapes, pretty much anything that you can put on the page, we're going to render in Visio services, right? And any of those things you can also attach data to, okay? So that's another important point to think about. When you're attaching data to an object in Visio, you also need to be aware of Visio's capabilities when it comes to, well, what is an AutoCAD diagram versus what is a clip art that you've embedded on the page, or what is a native Visio shape, right, and what the capabilities are there. And I'll kind of show you some differences between those scenarios. Who's using the Visio client right now and doing any data linking to external sources? Okay, well, just a couple people. Okay. So this capability has actually been in the product for a couple of releases now. The ability to just open up your diagram, click through a wizard to go through your data source, you know, Excel, SharePoint list, something like this, and bring that data into the diagram. The way this works, and we'll kind of go through this a little bit in my demo, is, you know, it's a one-way push for that data into the Visio diagram. That's another question that comes up is, okay, I've linked to my SharePoint list, right? I've linked this record for the Seattle store to the Seattle store shape. Now I can go to the shape, and there's these data properties that show up for that shape. We've got city, state, store ID, sales goals, these different things like this. That's just editable metadata, right? And the first question that comes up is, well, when I type new values myself into those new properties that have shown up on that shape because I've linked a record to that shape, can that data be pushed back to the database? And out of Visio just itself natively, no. It's a one-direction pull from the data source into Visio, right? Now, some customizations can be done to make that possible, but you need to write a little bit of code to do that sort of scenario. Both on the server side and the client side, you could do that. But out of the box, that updating that data source is not going to be possible. So some things to keep in mind here when I'm going through the demonstration is the number of data sources that I'm working with, how I'm linking those records to shapes. A lot of people that go through the data linking process, you know, for the first couple times, they run the wizard, they pick, you know, SharePoint list, let's say. They get the data in, they link a record to a shape, and they're like, okay, well, I guess I've got my shape linked, I've got a data source in my diagram. I guess that's, you know, all I can accomplish with this data linking content. That's not true. You can link n number of data sources into that diagram. I have a customer right now that's automating the process of linking in over 200 different data sources into a single diagram. And each one of those range from 5 records in that data source to, you know, 10,000 records, right? So it's a very powerful capability to bring into that. On top of that, n number of records from those data sources can be linked to a shape. So if we've got 4 or 5 different data sources, maybe something coming out of Excel services, maybe something else coming out of SharePoint list, maybe something else coming out of BCS, right? We can take records from each one of those and kind of link those into a separate shape on the diagram. Maybe you want to pull some of those different properties together into one view of your shape, right? We've got different data coming from different sources for our store, sales data, employee data, this sort of stuff. We can bring all that together and visualize that on a single shape. So that's an important point I want to make about being able to bring in all these different data sources, kind of mix and match and pull all that stuff together into one visualization. Because a lot of times, you know, the user, the person that's creating these dashboards, you know, they could probably accomplish that if they could go into SQL and write a stored procedure and bring all that together. But they probably don't have permissions to do that. So this way they can link to these different tables and then bring all this stuff together into the single shape. Now I just talked a little bit about the data sources, right? We support Excel services, SharePoint list. There's a range of stuff that we support with Visio and Visio services. We even have custom scenarios. So, you know, maybe you have a proprietary application that doesn't surface its data through some of these other mechanisms, right? You can write your own code to provide a data provider for the client and for SharePoint so that you can connect that Visio diagram to that proprietary system, pull data from it, right, set up your dashboard, and then publish that to SharePoint. And Visio services will use your code to contact that back-end source, that proprietary system, and keep that diagram refreshed from that. We'll show that. I'll talk a little bit about that with a SCOM add-in that we produced. Some of you might be familiar with it. Yeah, is there a question? SharePoint user profiles? Those don't show up in the wizard. You could do, and we'll talk a little bit more about that, once you establish a connection to SharePoint, or you can just write your own connection string and command string in Visio to modify that on the back side. So that could be possible, but not directly through our wizard. We don't surface that. Yeah, so, I mean, Excel services, right, through that scenario. A popular scenario with Excel services is to take your workbook, data connect it, put it in the Power Pivot Gallery, set up Power Pivot Gallery to constantly refresh that workbook over and over again, then we just connect Visio directly to that. It's all tabular data. I mean, in the back end, when Visio actually connects to that data source, it's basically a .NET data set object that's being managed inside of Visio. And that's where it becomes really easy to write your own .NET code to create a data set and pass that off to Visio so that it can manage it. So there's a lot of scenarios there. With this release in 2010, we only supported native foundation SharePoint lists. So we couldn't do external content types. You know, you couldn't set up an external list. Now we do support that. It's actually something that you can do in 2010 because briefly after we had our launch and did the SharePoint conference, we came back and we wrote an add-in for Visio using the .NET data adapter interfaces to build our own kind of add-in to allow you to do BCS connectivity. So it's there in 2010. It's not in the box. You have to go through some extra steps to get it. But now it's all native. So it's very easy just to walk through the wizard, and I'll show you that in a second. So so that's just getting the data into the diagram, okay? Now, just having the data in the diagram really doesn't make the diagram and the shapes do anything in that dashboard when somebody's consuming it through the browser, right? I mean, I can take any Visio diagram, put it in a document library, and people can click on it, and it's going to render for them, right? It might be just a static process diagram, and maybe that's all you need. But if you data link that diagram, and you don't use any visualization techniques, to the user, it's just going to look like a static diagram that's been published to SharePoint. So we have two mechanisms in 2013 that you can use to change and set up these visualizations for your shapes. One of these is data graphics. Data graphics was set up in the previous release in 2010 so that you could attach some of these pre-built visualizations, if you will, to your objects like icon sets, data bars. You could set up fill colors, that sort of stuff, so that those items change based on the rules that you set up for those items. So if my state is good, I'm going to show a green check mark. If my state property is bad, I'm going to show a red X, right? So, you know, visual rules like that. In the end, these are actually just pre-built Visio shapes that are in the Visio client for you to use and configure. You can actually build your own. There's articles on MSDN on how to go through and build like your own icon set, for example, or your own data bar to add them to our gallery and the interface. But the exciting thing about Visio 2013 is that they extended the refresh capability for the shapes to all the objects on the page, not just limiting data graphics, right? So this means, I'm hoping what this means for you is that when you're done with my session and you go back and you start playing with some of these capabilities, you'll start looking at some of these smart shape behaviors that you can build into your shapes so that you're not just limited to maybe some icons changing or some colors changing, but you actually have shapes on the page that behave in a way that, you know, you want them to, opposed to, you know, the data that they're connected to. And I'll show you this clothing rack shape and how it shows us what the stock is on that. And that's not data graphics. That's all behavior that is built into that shape for it to modify based on, you know, well, how much extra large quantities do we have left and small quantities and that sort of thing. I'll get you started a little bit. There's a lot of content when you start getting into building your own Visio shapes and how you can make them behave in the way that you need them to. But I'll give you some pointers and get you started and show you what, you know, where this capability exists at in the client. So with that, let me switch over. I want to show you just a little the start of a dashboard that we're going to create here in the client. So I've got a clothing store. I want to show some metrics around the different stores in the area. I want to drill down to specific store, see some of its metrics, drill down into the floor plan of the store so that I can see what's going on with individual products. So this is what I mean by setting up kind of a multi-page diagram, data linked to multiple data sources, showing different visualizations on all these pages, right, so that we can see how this stuff is allowing the user to navigate, drill down, see the different content that's available in the diagram. So the first page that I was showing you was some map shapes that I pulled off the internet, threw those on the diagram, and then I overlaid some store shapes that came out of Visio, and I just kind of used that to build up those first two pages. On this page here, this is where I have some of those smart shapes that change based on the data that's connected to them. And then in the background there, you also see the floor plan of the store, which is an AutoCAD diagram that I just imported and used as the background. So that was the first step, was just importing that AutoCAD, throwing it on the background, and then starting to overlay some of my Visio shapes on top of it, right, and arrange them the way I want it to look, and then connecting my data up. So let's actually switch over to Visio. And I've got some of this diagram set up already. I've got, you know, the foundation of some of my pages, and we'll walk through some of this stuff. But I don't have my Seattle store set up, so I want to go ahead and do that. And I've run a search and collected some shapes that I want to use in my diagram. Obviously, I've already used this store before, but I'm going to drop it up here. Now, notice that I have the shape data window open already, and I've got that shape selected, and there's no data properties associated with it at all, right? Now, you know, Visio allows you to define your own. So I can come in here and I can type out a city property, click on OK, and then I can come into that property as a user, and I can type in any value that I want to type into that property. And, you know, it can be integer or date, time, however I want to format that, right? Now, the cool thing about the data linking capabilities is Visio will mash up and reconcile, right, the properties that are coming out of my data source with the properties that already exist in that shape. And so what I mean by that, actually, let me switch back over to this scenario here, because I want to show you where I'm going to get my data from. So this is my SQL Azure account. I've got some simple tables that I've built into my SQL Azure database, like what stores do I have, what racks are in those stores, what products do those stores sell. So I've got all that data defined, but I also wrote a stored procedure that says, hey, you know, what's the store ID of the data that you want to pull out? And then I do, you know, the calculations to find all those products, build up my table, and send that table back out. Now, where that is set up to me to communicate with Visio is through BCS, right? So I've gone into BCS using SharePoint Designer, created my external content type, and connected it to my SQL Azure tables and my stored procedures. So here's one of the tables. It's real simple. I just put in some simple store sales data, but here's that store inventory stored procedure. So it's contacting and running that stored procedure and bringing back all the data about the products and the quantities and everything that's available, in this case, in my Seattle store, all right? So let's go back to Visio, because here I don't have any data linked into this diagram, right? So I've got my stores. I've kind of sketched out what I want my diagram to look like. Now I need to go through the process of attaching data to this diagram, right? One of the options is foundation list, but if I go through this, and select, and this is coming from Office 365, of course. If I go through here, you can see that it calls out, I've got my external list defined there as well as just standard foundation list down below, right? So I'm going to come in here and I'm going to say store sales overall first. This is a view of a table that I created and connected to through BCS. So I'm going to connect to that. Authentication is being handled in this case through Secure Store Service. So a target application is set up to use my, you know, SQL credentials for that SQL Azure site or the database. But now down here below, you see that we've contacted the data source, and I have now have a data record set cached in this diagram. So the connection string information is in there, right? There's the cached view of the data that's come out of that request. We cache that data in the diagram to make it portable, make it for offline use, right? So if I sent you this diagram, you don't have access to SQL Azure, you could still modify, co-author my diagram, and help me configure the visualization with the data that you have, right? So real quick here, let's go through, let's put in a text label for that shape, You know, this is something that you would probably do, just kind of set up your dashboard, right? Now, manually, I'm going to take this record, and I'm going to drag and drop it onto that Seattle store, right? That's going to establish the binding, the data linking from that record to that specific shape in the diagram. Now, when I did that, if I click on that shape, you see that we have new properties available. So that's what I mean by Visio reconciled that information. When I did that data link, it set up the existing properties, right, to match columns in my data source. In this case, I only have one. It was city. So it found city, did the match, and populated the data in there if there was any change. And then the other ones that it found that didn't exist, obviously, it created those for me, right? And so now that those are just metadata properties in the shape, just like metadata properties that you would create manually, right, I can do different things with that shape now to surface those properties to the user. Now, the first scenario here that I'll go through is the data graphics scenario, right? We have a gallery that you drop down that allows you to pick from data graphics. Now, one of the ones that I already built for these shapes, I have set up, and I can move it around here. So you can see I've got an icon that's changing state based on something in that metadata. And then I've got some text properties here, right, that are a little bit more obvious, quantity sold, employees, et cetera, right? So if I take a look at this, let me just drill into how this is put together. You can see there's a number of items that make up this data graphic, right? So basically, one or many of those properties are set up to be visualized as, you know, text on that shape or a data bar on that shape or an icon set, right? Now, the text ones are very simple. We just picked a property. We just picked what kind of text visualization that we wanted to display on it. We picked its positioning, all that sort of stuff. So these are very easy to configure, right? When we get down to something that's a little bit more complex, like the progress bar, again, I picked a simple property, quantity sold, attached it to a progress bar, and you can see I've got minimum and maximum values there for that range. So that sets up how that shape is going to behave when that data gets updated. If we look at the icon set, it's a little bit more complex because it just doesn't use a single property that's bound to that shape. Now remember, these are properties that are in the shape. So by establishing the data link to that record, it's created those properties and allowed us to do these kinds of formulas in here. And so here I've got, you know, basically quantity sold divided by employees in my store, right? So maybe there's some kind of performance metric I'm looking at to see if I'm selling enough to, you know, to support that number of employees in the store, whatever you might want to do. But I want to point out the fact that you don't just have to pick a, you know, a predetermined property that came out of your database, right? You can take this information and build formulas into that shape. Now think of that as, I'm sure everybody in here probably uses Excel, familiar with conditional formatting, right? Putting formulas or values into the cells of your worksheets. This kind of gets to the same sort of capability in Visio if you think about how that works. So instead of cell names, ranges, you know, you're just specifying property names in this case. Right. So that's the visualization that I want to show on that page. Let me go ahead and actually run the automatic link wizard, because since I have all these stores and I type text for the names of all these stores, I can run a quick linking wizard that'll go through all my data, match it up to the shapes on the page, and just automatically link everything up for me, right? So we'll do city coming out of my data source against the shape text that I've typed in for all these stores. I'll just click on finish. And down here you can see that everything's linked up. Now it's just up to me. Let me just select everything here and apply that data graphic. Now it's up to me just to add the data graphic to every one of these stores and maybe, you know, move things around and change, you know, how this stuff looks, all right? Give a little bit better layout. So that's page one, right? Nothing too advanced there, just using data graphics, maybe some custom formulas to set that up. What I want to do is I have a second page where I drill down into the details, or start to drill down into the details of the Seattle store, right? So from that store object, I'm just going to go to insert hyperlink, and I'm going to go into subaddress and pick from the list of pages that are in my diagram. So I'll just click on OK, and that's all I had to do to set up that hyperlink. All right. Now when I save that into Visio Services, that hyperlink is supported, so as people click around like they would on any hyperlink in the web, it's going to navigate them to that second page. Right? So I can come down here and pick Seattle store detail, and it takes me to that page as well inside the client. Now I talked about one record being linked to multiple shapes in our diagram. Right? I can take the Seattle store data and link it up to this shape as well. So that's the same shape. I could have copied that shape from the other page. You know, this is basically the same scenario there. But maybe I want to show that same exact data there, along with data for the products that I want to kind of spell out for maybe upper management so they can see how some of these products are selling in this specific store, right? At this point, I need more data. I don't have details about those products in my diagram yet. If you remember that stored procedure that we were looking at earlier, it has all the products that we're selling in that Seattle store, their quantities, how many we've sold, how many we have on stock, all that information. And that's a stored procedure that's going to be accessed through BCS. So I'm going to run the same wizard. I'm going to go through the foundation list, connect to my Office 365 site, and then I'm going to come in here and we've got our store inventory external list. And I'll just click on finish. And so it's executing that stored procedure through BCS and bringing all that data back into my Visio diagram as a data record set. So now we've got things like suit coat and sports jacket and such, so I can take these, and this is just pretty much a simple call-out shape that I just added to my diagram in Visio, right? So I added the call-out, drew the line down to the store, nothing advanced there, take this record, drop it on that shape. Same thing happens, right? I've got data properties now about all the columns that have come out of that stored procedure into my Visio shape. Anytime that data source gets refreshed, that metadata is going to be pushed into that shape so that we can see changes. So the same thing here that I'm going to do is I've just got a different data graphic set up. And it's not as complex as the other data graphic we set. It's a simple property using the data bar again, right? And just using a text label for the product name up above it. So I can go through here. Let me select all of these shapes and apply that data graphic to it, all right? So now that I've got that set up, you know, I can come in here and I can say sports jacket. Let's link this up. Dress pants is up here. Whoops, I think I linked that to the background. Okay, well, maybe I won't link that one right now. And cocktail dress. Yeah, I've got some, bring that to front. But you can see how easy that is to connect those objects to the data. The reason it's not data linking right now is the Z order of my shape, so it's getting confused on the state shape that's in the background. It's kind of sitting, if you will, on top of those objects. So that's how you get multiple data sources into your diagram. Just run the wizard multiple times, pick different data sets, data sources, bring in those records, link those records up into your shape. Now here I've got the same thing. I've got my Seattle store, right, with a hyperlink into my inventory page. And this is where we just went to the Insert tab and picked CAD diagram. So I just browsed out and I found a DWG or DXF file that I got from somebody, and I imported that diagram as my background, you know, for my store. And I set it up so that I can't select it, right? That's one of the nice things about Visio as well, is once you bring in any objects, bitmaps, Visio shapes, any of this stuff, one of the cool capabilities is setting up layers in your diagram, right? And that helps you establish navigation for the user, the interactions that they're going to have with that diagram. If I didn't lock that layer, which you can see that option right there from my floor plan layer, if I didn't lock that, I would be able to click around here and select this object, which can be confusing when I just want to allow people to select on these racks because of all these different objects and stuff that have come in from AutoCAD. So that's kind of a helpful tip for using for building these types of diagrams. But let me zoom in a little bit on these rack shapes because these are kind of interesting. These do not use data graphics, as I was saying earlier. These have smart shape behaviors built into them to adjust the shape based on you know, what it is. So these are built for a very specific purpose in this case, obviously. But let me go ahead and come down here and find, like, let's see, suit coat, that's fine, and data link that. Now, it had a small change there, but right as a user, I can come in here and do something like this, where I come in here and change the quantities of those items, right? And you see how that shape behaves and interacts with the data that's being changed. So that's what's going to happen to that shape as that stored procedure gets refreshed down below. It'll just push the new values up, and we'll see that kind of behavior changing automatically in that shape. All right. And again, I'll do the same thing. I've got a call out over here on the left-hand side. Right? I can drag and drop it. It's just basically a rectangle that I drew some nice ornamental shapes around. Right? Data link that. Now I can overwrite the text that's in that shape, because the text that I've typed in there is kind of for my prototyping. Right? It's for me when I was setting up what I wanted my dashboard to look like. I won't use data graphics for that. I'll just link the properties directly in as text, which is available on the Insert tab. We have this idea called fields. And this has also been in the product for some time, but it's fully supported in Visio Services. Since we've data linked these properties or these shapes to our records, the fields automatically update as well. So I can come into this dialog and pick from a wide range of properties from my shapes. Most commonly, we're looking at shape data, because we want to come in here and grab our product description and insert that field. Maybe I'll add another line here, come back to insert field, go back to shape data. Maybe, let's see, what are we doing? We're doing quantity sold. So where there's quantity sold, I'll insert that and do something like that, right? So I can keep going, keep inserting new lines, keep adding properties, mix in text and that sort of stuff. So just keep those capabilities in mind. This page is all completely done without using any of the data graphics functionality at all, right? Now again, I've kind of pre-populated those objects with a rack ID, which is one of my columns, obviously, that the stored procedure returns. So I can come up here to data, do my automatic link function again, and you can see here it was smart enough to look against the columns, look at the properties of my shapes, and help me match it up before I even got started. So it found these two matches. I'll click on finish, and it's gone through and it's linked all of those records into the appropriate racks and the appropriate callouts that are there. Right? So that's it for putting this diagram together. So we've put together the hyperlinks and the data connectivity to multiple sources. We've linked records in our data source, not just the one shape, but the multiple shapes in our diagram, put in custom formulas, not just using the raw property value, to do some logic around that. Let me talk about the custom shapes a little bit. This isn't really part of the demo, but this is something that I wanted to point out and show you. You saw how this shape behaved based on those data properties changing. Now, the first thing I'll tell you is if you want to start getting into building Visio shapes, what we call smart shapes, because of the behavior that we can build into them to drive their behavior, you need to customize your ribbon, and you need to turn the developer tab on. By default, that option's turned off, and you don't have access to that. A lot of Office applications have this similar mechanism, but if you turn the developer tab on in Visio, right, you actually get a wide range of what I call shape development tools to help you build Visio shapes. Now, you know, a lot of people think the Visio shapes are just office art or clip art or something like that, but they're a completely different mechanism. They've been in Visio since the birth of the product, and it's just the way that Visio operates internally. Let me go to the rectangle tool here. And I'm not going to get too complex into some of these dialogues, but you can set up how those shapes behave. Does this behave as a 1D shape, like a line and connect to things? Is it a 2D shape with width and height? You know, is it a group? Does it scale with a certain scale on the page? Remember, if we import an AutoCAD diagram, a lot of those floor plans have architectural scales. So maybe the shapes that you build need to match those architectural scales as well. So there's a lot of things to consider. There's a lot of behaviors to enable. There's things like protection. If somebody's going to interact with this shape, do you want them to resize the width or the height or delete it or group it or do any of these actions that Visio supports. So you have full control over how somebody interacts with the shape and how that shape behaves through a lot of these settings, right? And I said I'm not going to go through all of this stuff because there's a ton of content here just on creating Visio shapes itself. But what I wanted to do was at least give you a taste of taking something like this record here. All the properties are automatically attached to that shape for us, right? And then going in and looking at how this shape is built and modifying its behavior, right, so that we can link its behavior to one of these properties by opening up what's called the shape sheet. Now, that showed up because I turned the developer tab on in Visio. And so any shape that I right-click on now in the product, I have that option available, and I can open up that window. Let me get rid of my shape data window here so you can see the shape a little bit better. And down below, you see what we call the shape sheet, or the sheet for that object, right? That's all the logic that controls how that shape behaves in Visio. Width, height, angle, properties, geometry, fill, text, everything is in this sheet here. Now that gets back to the comment that I made about Excel, right? People look at this and they're like, oh, wow, I'm overwhelmed now. I've got all this stuff going on. Just think of this as a worksheet, right, or multiple worksheets, each one of those sections. They're just cells. And in those cells, you can store values and formulas, right? And so that's where we get into the shape behavior. So like here for width, this is a scale diagram. It says my width for that shape is 8 feet 6 inches, right? But I can hit my equal sign and go into cell edit mode. And maybe down below there, where I've got all those properties that were now introduced to my shape because I set up that data link capability, I want to reference one of those other cells for the value of width, right? So I'll just pick something here like quantity medium maybe, right? So it's going to take the value out of that quantity medium cell, and it's going to use it as part of the calculation for the width of that shape, right? So now if I hit enter and accept that formula, and I come up here to quantity medium, right, you can see how that shape is going to react based on data changing that's linked up to that shape, right? Now I'm changing it to the shape properties. You know, a lot of shapes in Visio, you know, have metadata properties or shape data properties that are not attached to data. The user gets a combo box to select different items or what have you. But this is basically the fundamentals of how that clothing rack shape was built. And it's actually, if you take a step back to the data graphics description that I was giving you, it's actually how data graphics are built as well. They just have a couple other properties that tells Visio how to attach them to a target shape in your diagram. So this is something I want to point out. It's not a well-known capability of the product or a well-used capability, but now that Visio services will render and refresh all of this stuff, right, you can come into these shapes and put in formulas to drive behavior of those shapes. Will move around on the page, they'll resize, you know, you can do different things like, you know, hide and show parts of the shape, which you saw with that clothing rack. As different items, you know, decreased in value, we kind of hid some of the objects in that clothing rack. So keep that in mind. There's a lot of content in MSDN about just the shape sheet in Visio. Look up shape sheet, smart shapes, those sorts of topics in MSDN to kind of get you started on some of this stuff. So to get back to the original demo, right? Now that we have this diagram all set up, we have the navigation that we want. We've got our hyperlinks. We've got our data link to the shapes. We've got our smart shape behaviors. All this stuff is set up. We just simply save this to SharePoint in a document library, right? And I've already done that. So if I come up here and pick one of these, so here is, you know, my shared documents folder. In there I've saved this Visio VSDX file, and now the user can navigate and view that diagram in the browser, right? They can pan, they can zoom, they can select these shapes and open up the shape info property pane if they want to, and they can copy values out of there, they can interact with that stuff. So this is, by setting up all that behavior in the client and saving that diagram to SharePoint, right, they get all that capability. They can change pages, right? And like I said, If we get back here, I can navigate the hyperlinks. And of course, as I move through those pages, the data refreshes and all those shape behaviors and data graphics update at the same time. All right, so let's go back to the deck and talk about the next scenario. So I kind of highlighted this stuff already. Let me get through the animation for that. There we go. Okay. So some details on data refresh. I talked about how the data was cached in that diagram, you know, mostly for offline use. So that's a pretty simple scenario. The refresh on the server side doesn't update the VSDX file that you saved into the document library. Right? Every user that visits that diagram basically gets a cached version of the diagram that the server serves up to them. Right? So just keep in mind that no changes are made. If you save that diagram there 6 months later, you open it in the client, the data is going to be stale, obviously, because it was refreshed 6 months ago. Another thing to consider is automatic refresh. There's actually a setting in the Visio client when you configure that data linking and that data record set comes in where you can check a box and say, I want this to automatically refresh every 5 minutes. And a lot of people get that setting confused with the settings that are on the server. Because if you create that data record set and you check the box in the client that says, I want to refresh every 5 minutes, that's telling the client to refresh every 5 minutes. When you save that diagram to the server doesn't care about that setting at all. And we'll get to the setting on the server side that kind of shows you how you can customize that server side to do auto refresh as well. Okay, so all the data record set stuff that I did in the demonstration was all through SQL Azure. You can do SQL on-premise. There's a lot of other data sources that you can deal with. For SQL Azure, I set up an external content type, went through BCS and configured secure store service with my, basically some credentials that allowed me to read and execute stored procedures. All right. On-premise, obviously, you have a lot more options. You can do Windows authentication. You can use Office Data Connection files to specify credentials. There's a lot more options that you have if you're connecting to an on-premise SQL data source. Now, when we walk through the data linking wizard, one of the things that I was pointing out was that I was connecting to a stored procedure in SQL Azure. And that was possible because we set up an external content type in SharePoint to execute that stored procedure. If you go through the data linking wizard in the client and you pick SQL Server, you can put in the name of your SQL Azure database or, you know, your on-premise database. You're only going to see tables and views out of that wizard. You're not going to see any stored procedures listed in there. It's just a limitation of that wizard. But I do want to point out that stored procedures are possible. You just need to set it up, you know, through a different mechanism. And that would be BCS and external content types through SharePoint. The other thing to keep in mind when you're working with data sources, any kind of data source actually, not just SQL, is the schema for the data refresh. Right? Now, think of a scenario where we stop selling the men's sport jackets. Well, we have a record in our data source called sport jackets. It's got a unique ID. It's linked into the diagram, and it's linked to a shape in the Visio diagram. If we take that record out of our database and do a refresh, Visio Services isn't going to know what to do with that linked shape, right? It's going to actually give you an error when you render the diagram and tell you that the schema has changed, right? Because it couldn't find, in our case, the sports jackets. So when you're writing stored procedures and these sorts of things to return data, right, it's pretty common to just return only the records that you actually need to surface to the user, but you might need to return like placeholder records that have no data in them, right? Okay, we stopped selling sports jackets, but let's return that record and just fill out zero or put a note in there and say, we're not selling this product anymore. The reason I'm bringing that point up is if any of that stuff changes, you have to open up that diagram, right? Make changes to the diagram in the client and save it back to the server, or you're going to continually get that schema error. So it's just something to be aware of. We talked about this a little bit using the shape formulas, right? I didn't mix in data from other data sources to set up my formulas, but that is easily possible through data graphics, through your custom shapes, if you're doing your own formulas like I was just showing. So just be aware of that capability as well. Obviously, if you have access to the data source, maybe you just need to update your stored procedure or create a view or do something else, right, to set up the query to return the data that you're looking for. But if not, you can do some calculations in Visio as well. All right, so server-side customization. So we've taken our diagram, and we've built in as much as possible for the navigation experience for the user into that diagram, and we've stored it into SharePoint. Right? And I've said that different clients, different devices like iPads, Windows phones, Surface, those sorts of things, can easily navigate to SharePoint, click on that diagram, and it's going to render in their browser. They don't need anything but a modern browser in order to see and interact with Visio services. So that's an important point. But once you get that diagram saved up to SharePoint, right, there's different things that you can do with that diagram to extend it even further. Right? We have a web part, the Visio Web Access web part, so that you can put that diagram on any page in your site. Right? You can script some of that stuff. You can modify its look and feel. You can decide, do they pan, do they zoom, what page do I display to them? There's all kinds of options that the web part makes available to you. There's also the automatic refresh option in the web part. So if you're going to build, let's say a kiosk machine or an unattended display where people are walking by and they're just seeing the status of a data center or something like that, you can just throw that up, put the web part on a page, set automatic refresh to, every minute, and then the Visio web part's going to automatically keep that diagram up to date, as it's sitting there in the browser. Web part connections allow us to connect the Visio web part to other web parts on our page, right? So there's things we can do like, you click on a shape and we send data to a different web part and it affects the content of that web part. Those scenarios are all no-code scenarios. We wanted to make sure that we had scenarios for both developers, obviously, and then scenarios for people that aren't developers, people that don't know the JavaScript object model and such, so that they can get some additional functionality out on the server side. But what we're going to talk about is the Mashup API and how we can use that API to extend the diagram and interact with that diagram and do things with it that wouldn't be possible without that API. Here's a look at the object model for the Visio Services API. It's very simple, right? We have our web part, our control. From the control, we can get the page that's being displayed to the user. And then obviously from that page, we can get access to all the shapes that are on the page and the data behind those shapes and the hyperlinks behind those shapes and those sorts of things, right? So again, this is a read-only object model, right? So we're not changing the metadata for the shapes through it. We're just consuming the content that's been published, right? But being able to use this, right, this is where we can start to, build some custom interaction capabilities as people hover over shapes or click on shapes, or maybe they do things in a web application that you've got hosted in a web part next to the diagram, and you tell the diagram to do some specific things based on what they've selected in your web application, right? So let's actually take a look at that real quick. I want to show you some of those capabilities. So here, first off, here's just kind of a simple web part connection scenario where I've got a reorder list and I've got an InfoPath form. So very simple, something that you probably have set up today to fill out a new task item or something like that. But in this case, I have a web part connection set up between these two, and that's the same diagram. But when I click on a shape, right, how web part connections work is it forces a page reload, right? Figures out what shape I had selected. It chooses the data property that I assigned to that WebPart connection. And then it fills out that form on the right. It looks like I'm taking a little bit of time to reload that diagram, but you can see it automatically filled out the item ID property for me, right? So it kind of helps me fill the form out a little bit more. I could have filled out more properties automatically, but it's just pulling the data values that come directly out of that shape data linking capabilities, right? Let's go to something a little bit more interesting. Here's another dashboard that I put together. This one's using the JavaScript API, right? What this one is doing is you can see we've got our diagram displayed on the page, right? And as I hover over these items, right, I'm using the JavaScript API to do some things. I'm detecting whether I click on a shape, whether I hover over a shape. When those events occur, I'm getting the shape, I'm asking it for the data that it's linked to, and then I'm doing something with that data. In this case, I'm doing two different things. Over here on the right, you can see I'm just outputting the data into a div element as HTML. So it's nothing, you know, it's pretty basic scenario, but I'm just writing out all the property labels and all the property values as HTML. Over here in the diagram, what I'm actually doing here is creating an HTML5 canvas object and injecting that into the Visio web part, right? Because some of the things that I know about that shape are its width, its height, its location on the page, different things like that, which the object model tells me. So as I hover over these objects, I can say, oh, you hovered over this particular rack. That rack has this data. You're located in this area of the page, and you're this big. So I'm going to use that information to set up my visualizations that are going to just overlay, and we call them overlays from the Visio API. So I'm going to overlay that next to or on top of or, you know, what have you with that shape. So that's one of the capabilities that we have is, like I said, from some other web part, right, you can interact and do things with that diagram. So you could draw controls in there. You can add extra hyperlinks, that sort of stuff, to help with navigation, pull things using the client-side object model from SharePoint, surface that in the diagram. So it opens up a lot of capabilities. Another item that I have here, let me zoom out a little bit, is we have the ability to, you know, draw other things automatically on the page. That's actually, I just had to call a single method, which was, you know, highlight shapes of this type, right? So I wrote some logic to say, hey, where are the men's clothing and the women's clothing racks in my store? You know, because I know, you know, the gender, it's one of the properties in those shapes. And so I can tell Visio, hey, just highlight those objects. So this gives you kind of filtering capability, if you will, from your diagram, just being able to do simple things like that. Now I built this, if we take a look at, excuse me, I built this with Visual Studio, right? The reason I built this with Visual Studio is if you go to my blog, you can download a project template for Visual Studio that I've set up that gives you a couple things that just makes putting these mashups together using this API very easy. I'll just show you that real quick. If you go to project and you have it installed, I've got the Visio Services 2013 Mashup Starter project template, right? So if you create a new project out of that, you know, you're going to get this default HTML file set up with some stub code in it. You're going to get a little JavaScript library that I set up that has some helper functions for doing things with Visio Services, like the overlays. Does the browser support HTML5, Canvas, these are, you know, these sorts of things that helps out development. But what I wanted to do for, just to kind of show you how some of this stuff works, let me increase the font size there so you can actually see some of that. So if we scroll down here, I've got basically, you know, on page load, I want to call some JavaScript function, which I called init document. Right? If we come down to init document, all I do is I call one of my helper functions that goes and gets the instance of that Visio web part on the page and gives it to me. Once I have that web part, then I just hook up to a couple of its events. In this case, I wanted to know when somebody clicked on a shape. I wanted to know when somebody hovered over a shape, these kinds of interactions. Right? And then pretty much at that point, I'm done. I did a little work here to figure out if my browser supports Canvas or not, so that I know to draw or not to draw on the diagram. But that's all I needed to do. Now, that first event, the diagram complete event, this is basically how you would structure, you know, all of your Visio Mashup API projects, because when that web part is on the page, you can't really do anything with it until a diagram has been completely rendered in the web part. So diagram complete tells you that, hey, the user is currently looking at a refreshed and rendered diagram in that web part, which tells you that the page object is initialized, the shapes collection is initialized. You can start calling all the methods and properties through that object model, right? And so when I get that event, I do a couple things like, well, give me the page object and give me the shapes collection just so I have those for using in other functions later on. And then I also do some things, well, what were they doing before this diagram complete event fire? Did they just hit page refresh and I need to re-highlight objects that were highlighted in the past? Or do I just start from scratch because they just got to this page? So there's just some logic down here that deals with that, right? But basically, it's just diagram complete. Let's get some of the objects and prepare to do something for the user. Selection changed fire. So now I know that somebody clicked on a shape in the diagram. Obviously, it's up to me to figure out what that shape is and if I care about that shape, right? And one of the ways to do that is to go through there, figure out what the data is. Does it have these particular properties assigned to it? If it doesn't, I really don't care about that shape. But if it does, then I want to go through. And in this case, you can see here, I'm just collecting some of the data values and properties for my HTML string that I'm going to kick over to that div element so it gets displayed right here, right? So that one's fairly straightforward. The mouse enter event that fires is going to call into this function, which sets up that property pane that you were looking at, that green box, which is the HTML5 canvas, right? And so when that fires, you know, we'll clean up any existing property pane that was on the page, and then we'll go back through and we'll figure out, okay, well, is this a shape we care about? Does it have the properties we need? Let's grab that information, and let's call this add overlay method and give us the canvas object so that we can start drawing on it. Now, if any of you worked with a canvas object, you know it's basically just an element that you stuck on the page, and then later you need some more JavaScript to start drawing on it and figuring out what that canvas is going to look like. And that's what this function is right here. So basically what I've done is I've told add overlay to create this canvas object for me in this location with this size next to the shape, left and middle. And then after that, I've got my custom JavaScript code and info page to canvas, which goes through all the properties and, you know, hey, let's write this text out as white. Let's write this other text out as a different color using these font sizes, these certain things like that. So I just wanted to step through the code and kind of give you an idea about, you know, how simple the object model is in Visio Services and some of the things that you can do with that. Now, I've seen customers, you know, I talked earlier about, well, you can't just directly edit data for that object in Visio, right, in Visio Services. Let's say I wanted to update the count of a certain product in my store to SQL Azure. I could do that through this API, right, because I could create a web part that's talking to Azure and it's updating my data. And then once my data is updated, I can tell it to refresh the diagram, right? But I can't do it directly in the Visio diagram itself. And that's actually a pretty simple scenario to go through. You can talk to, you know, if you're connected to a SharePoint list, right? You could use client-side object model to edit property values in the list and refresh the diagram as well. So keep that in mind. There's two more scenarios that I want to go through. That's kind of the... Go back to my deck here. There's a couple more scenarios that I want to show before the session's over. But when it comes to custom data sources, you know, yesterday at the booth I had people coming up to me asking me about different things like dynamics and CRM and, you know, where does PowerView fit in and all these different things. You know, why would I use Visio instead of using reporting services or these other tools? My answer to that is Visio is just open-ended, right? I mean, you can draw whatever you want on the page, and Visio Services is going to render that. You can connect to whatever data source that you need, you know, through the client. Visio Services is going to keep that data up to date. Now, like PowerView is more of a data exploration tool where you're navigating, you're trying to figure out what's going on. The stuff that you're building with Visio is more of a dashboard for people to consume, you know, what the state is currently. Like if you think about like a data center scenario where, you know, the boss is walking by the data center and he just wants to look up and see all green for all the servers in the racks. Well, you can draw the racks, you can draw the servers, you can data connect them to SCOM, to SCCM, all these different, you know, WMI, all these other tools, and just surface that data very easily. It's all in data preparation and where this data is coming from, right? So just keep that in mind, and there's various, as I've kind of outlined here, there's various methodologies that I've used with other customers to get their data or move their data to places that make Visio services, you know, very easy to consume that data. So just keep that in mind. So who has been using SCOM or the SCOM add-in for any of their... One person? Okay. So let me just talk about that scenario. I'm not going to, you know, kind of tell you what SCOM is or, you know, go through a demo setting all that stuff up. But what I wanted to do was kind of show you some of the custom capabilities, right? We talked earlier about custom data sources, and let's say you've got a proprietary system that, you know, doesn't surface its data well to SQL or to SharePoint or these other things, that you can write code to do your own data adapter, right? Now that's what we've done with Operations Manager, right? Is we set up a data adapter that talks directly to the Operations Manager server and lets you run queries and do different things to get the objects out of Operations Manager into your diagram. I don't know why that's taking so long. There it goes. So the reason I want to point that out is that there's kind of two parts to that, right? There is how do we use the UI in Visio to let somebody navigate and select and set up these queries and get these objects into a data record set in Visio so that Visio Services knows about it. Because remember, that data record set needs to be part of the diagram in order for Visio Services to refresh it and understand it. So the first two tasks are create a UI that allows somebody to navigate to your proprietary application and pick objects out of it, which is, if you look here in the product, when you install our add-in to Visio, we give you some ribbon customizations that allow you to do that, right? So I can come through here and I can do something like configure, pops up my dialog, I tell it where my server is, do some different things, click on OK and enable this diagram to connect to Operations Manager. Now I'm managing all that myself. Visio isn't doing any of that stuff. And then once I configure this diagram, these are grayed out right now because I can't connect to Redmond to my actual SCOM server, but I've added options similar to what you've seen on the data tab for linking to SharePoint lists or SQL. I've added options to link to specific Operations Manager objects, like computers, databases, SharePoint farms, whatever it is you're using Operations Manager to monitor, right? Now, once I choose the data to import into the diagram from that system, like I said, in Visio, it's just a data set object. So in my code, I create a data set object, and I give it to Visio. So I do the work of running the queries, calling the APIs, gathering the data together. I build up my data set and I give it to Visio, and it shows up here in the external data window. And so you can see I've got a number of clients that I've set up. We're getting their health state, their maintenance state, all this sorts of high-level metadata that we can surface on the objects. And then, of course, here again, once I've data linked it, you can see I'm using, you know, just data graphics in this case to show the status of that object. So the same thing we've been seeing before. So from my custom scenario, all I've done is create an add-in that gives me buttons in the UI to surface dialogues that allow me to select data from that proprietary system and bring that into Visio. Now, I already wrote the code client side to talk to that proprietary system, pull the data out, massage it into a data set object. So typically what you would do is you would create that as a library, use it on the client, and then upload that to the server. Because Visio Services will use that same exact code that you wrote and call your function to do the refresh of the data, right? Now there's some authentication stuff to set up depending on, you know, what your proprietary system looks like. In SCOM, it uses, you know, Windows authentication. So on the server side, we've got to do some things to make sure that credentials pass through in Secure Store Service for that refresh to happen. But most of the development is all client side so that you can set up the external data set. Once it's in here, your code just has to be registered in SharePoint, and you save your diagrams up, and SharePoint will automatically recognize that, oh, that's a that uses, you know, whatever assembly that's stored that's in the trusted data adapter cache, and I'm going to call that and refresh from it. So it's a very, very simple scenario to configure. The last thing I wanted to show, we've got a couple minutes left, is generating diagrams from data. And I bring this up at the last minute because I had several people come to me at the booth and say, okay, well, you show me these data linking capabilities where I can drag records onto existing shapes in my diagram, right? But how do I import a data set and just have Visio create a diagram for me from my data? Now, that question is difficult to answer because there's actually some capabilities in Visio to generate some very specific diagram types from data for you. For example, org chart. We know what an org chart looks like. We know how it behaves. We know what the data should look like, right? So all those questions are easily answered, and we provide some functionality to generate that diagram for you with a couple clicks of the mouse, right? When you get into other data, data that you might have from, you know, your organization or from your customer, right? Who knows what that's going to look like, right? And that's basically the problem set is we can bring that data into Visio and we can represent that data as objects in the diagram, but what does the layout look like? What does the layout mean to a customer? If you give me a data set and tell me draw a process diagram based on these steps in this data set, you know, I guarantee I give it back to you, it's going to look nothing like the diagram that you would create, right? Just because everybody looks at things differently and there's just a whole range of issues there to deal with diagramming stuff from data. Now, this proof of concept that I put together is just set up to kind of show people that this capability exists in Visio, right? And that you basically end up having to write the logic to lay your shapes out the way you want them to be visualized on the drawing page. What I did in this scenario is I said, well, let's just make it really simple. Most cases, it's relational data. So this object is related to this object in some way, right? A lot of the scenarios that I've dealt with customers are of this type. So I set up a dialogue where I said, okay, well, tell me which data set holds your objects, and I'm just going to get those objects out there on the page. And I'm going to represent those objects as what? And I give you a drop down to select a shape that you might have in the stencil. In this case, I have a very limited stencil set in this case. But, you know, do you want to organize it based on some other metadata, like maybe a criticality column I have under system? You know, how do you want to lay it out? Do you want to lay it out vertical or horizontally? You know, and then click on the generate button, and it goes through and it processes all the objects in that data set and just gets them out there on the page for me, right? So everything's data linked. Actually set up this object to use color by value and data graphics, right? So I created that shape, attached data to it, set up data graphics, and then put it in my stencil so that my code could just drop it on the page. And because I dropped it on the page and linked it, Visio took care of everything else. Visio took care of coloring it the right way and all that kind of stuff. Oh, I guess I missed an option for the organization. Okay. But that's basically getting the objects out there, right? You also have data about how these objects are related, right? And so I'm just going to answer some more questions about, hey, how do I identify the property that identifies each of these objects? And how do I identify the properties that tell me, you know, the relationship goes from this application to that application or from this object to that other object. So I'll go through that real quick. I'll select a special shape that I made. I could use any shape, but I drew my own relationship 1D shape, and I'll colorize it there so that it makes it a little bit more obvious what's going on. But now I just go through and I find all the shapes on the page, and I draw all the relationships between all those objects, right? Now, I really didn't write any layout code in this scenario because I also try to point out the fact that Visio has layout logic built into it, right? So I got my shapes on the page. I can just pick a layout, and Visio is going to lay that stuff out for me, right? So in that simple scenario, again, that's just a proof of concept that I put together to show people that you can actually make Visio generate your diagrams. You just need to write some script in, you know, VBA, write a small application in .NET like C# or VB.NET, maybe even use PowerShell, right? You can talk to COM through PowerShell. There's a number of different ways that you can accomplish this. Some of my customers are actually, you know, running scripts on a nightly basis to build many, many, many diagrams and stuff those into SharePoint. So when the boss comes in the morning, he looks at the dashboard and says, oh, look, there's all these new diagrams. I'll click through them. Okay, that's the current state of our business. And then he moves on, and you know, in a couple more hours, that script runs and rebuilds diagrams because their data is changing all the time, right? And something like this, in this diagram state here, let me auto-size the page, right? Even just laying this diagram out manually probably would have taken me an hour, and I've been using Visio for a long time. You know, there's only, what, like 30 objects on the page and a bunch of different connectors between them. But when you start getting into, you know, a couple hundred or a couple thousand objects on the page that you've got to identify relationships for, if you've got to do that drawing more than once, you know, it's going to be, you know, a waste of time. Doing that over and over again, you're going to make errors, things are not going to look right. So write code to automate that and produce those diagrams. So with that, I think actually we're out of time. I skipped ahead to a couple slides there so we could get through that last demo. We talked about the custom data sources. If you want more information on any of the stuff, any of the capabilities that you've seen here, the code that I've written for the SCOM add-in, the code that I've written for this POC, you know, these sorts of things, that Visual Studio project for doing the Mashup API stuff that gives you all my helper functions, all that, you know, just go to Bing and search on Chris Hopkins Visio. You'll find my blog. And there's, you know, a couple hundred articles on there about doing some crazy and complex things with Visio that's on there. I've been working with Visio for a long time, so I've got a lot of stuff published up there that you can take advantage of. And through that blog, too, you can find my email address and contact me if you have specific questions or specific scenarios that you just want to know, is this something that could work, or am I going to run into lots of headaches when I start going down this road? So with that, actually, I don't need to show that slide. Conference is pretty much over, so thank you for attending. And let me know what you do with Visio.